So I was laying in bed yesterday morning, wondering what I was going to talk about, and I heard this word, triumph. That was it. What am I supposed to do with that? So I hope what I did with it is what he had in mind. But anyway, let's talk about triumph. And that took me to Revelation 2. And I'm not going to read all of Revelation 2 and 3. It's letters to the seven churches. But what I want to do is read to you the end of each letter. Now, the first one is Ephesus, which is a church that had gone cold. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Okay. Then Smyrna, which is a church under persecution. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Then Pergamum, that's the church with the doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Thyatira, that's the one where they're learning the deep things of Satan. The one who conquers, that word, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Sardis, that's the church that's dead. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Philadelphia, that's the one that nothing negative is said about. Well, actually, they have the synagogue of Satan there. The one who conquers, there's still something to conquer. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. And then Laodicea, which is the lukewarm church, to the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. So you notice the pattern there. Every church, he's promising something to the one who conquers. And the ones who don't conquer, he doesn't promise it to. So, what would keep you from conquering? Well, what I came up with is someone who is in bondage or in prison isn't conquering. Now, that's spiritual bondage or spiritual prison, because Paul was in a physical prison that didn't slow him down a bit. So what I'm suggesting is if you are in a spiritual bondage or a prison, you're going to be ineffective and you're not going to be conquering. So how does that work? Now, let's go back to those conquest again. This is every church, seven churches, every one of them has got some reason why the people in that church would not be conquerors, would not triumph. Every one. Most of the problems are inside of the church. There's a couple that are outside. Sardis, for example, is being persecuted by the surrounding culture, but most of the rest of it is stuff inside the church that is keeping people potentially from triumphing. Well, what that tells me is you can expect to be harassed. You can expect to have opposition. You can expect trouble. Everybody. In other words, there isn't anybody whose life is always going to go right down the tracks like you want it to. Everybody is going to hit speed bumps. Everybody is going to be persecuted. Everybody is going to have trouble. All seven churches, people in the church. And again, most of the case, the problem is within the church, not outside of the church. Now, conquest only means something if there's an enemy or if there's opposition. I'll tell you a story. There was a rabbi who was talking to a bunch of children in his congregation. He says, why aren't you showing up on the morning of Shabbat? Well, We're playing soccer. That's when soccer is, and it conflicts. Well, hey, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go out to the field on Monday, kick a whole bunch of balls through the goal, add them up, bank them for Saturday, and come to school? And the kids looked at him and said, it doesn't mean anything if there's no other team on the field. And that's the whole point of conquest or triumphing. It is, by definition, against the opposition of some other team or some other person on the field. So when he's telling you, conquer, triumph, he is implying that there is going to be something or someone coming against you as you go through your life. And remember, all seven churches, every single one of them has a promise to the one who overcomes. So what would keep you from triumphing or conquering? And that, I am suggesting to you, is if you are in a spiritual prison or bondage, how do you get there? Well, the way you actually get into a spiritual prison or bondage is you build your own prison. Let me tell you how to do that. It's easy. Every time somebody comes against you and wounds you, whatever that wound may be, what you do is you take a brick mold and you pack it full of clay and you write on the brick, on January 6th, so-and-so stepped on my toes. And you put this brick down. The next time somebody does it, you do it again and again, and you stack these bricks up. And pretty soon, you've got this wall in front of you and around you. And that wall is your defense. And then what happens is you start getting reinforcements. Unclean spirits will come along and join you in your little fortress that you have made, and they'll say, yeah, they shouldn't do that to you. Who are they? So you pick up a spirit of resentment or a spirit of fear or a spirit of anger, and they get in the fortress with you and they help you defend it. But you're the one that made it. They don't make it for you. Just once you've made it, they come alongside and join you and help you defend yourself. The point is here, you get the prison you want. You're the one who decides what the bricks are. You're the one who makes the bricks. So you get the prison you want. And culture and society will help you get a head start. I'll use my own family as an example. My mother, God rest her, I hope, was an angry, bitter, resentful person. And she taught us all how to do that. We didn't know any better. We just figured that's the way things were. Different cultures have different traits. My wife was talking and saying, I'm Irish, I've got a temper. And then she thought, wait a minute, I'm taking pride in a negative thing about my culture. And stop doing that. So the point is, as you're a kid, society gives you a head start on your prison. And so as you grow up, you don't realize that this is abnormal. This is not the way things are supposed to be. Until at some point, God gets a hold of you and says, you're not conquering. You're not triumphing. You've hunkered down inside your little prison or your little fortress, and you're not doing what I want you to do. So the question becomes, how do you get out? If you decide you don't want to be there anymore. And by the way, I decided that about 15 or 20 years ago. I don't want to be there anymore. And I'm not. So how do you get out? Well, first off, the process is really simple. I didn't say easy, I said simple. Two different words, they're spelled differently. The process is not hard to understand. Doing it is really tough. First off, recognize that you're there. My mother never recognized it. Praise God I did. So recognize that you're in prison. And then admit who built the walls. You're the one that built the walls. Not all of those people out there who gave you reason to make bricks. Lots of people will give you reasons to make bricks, but they're not the ones that stack them up into a wall. You do that. So again, admit that you're the one that built the fortress that you're inside of. And then, this is the hard part, decide to tear it down. You got to decide to tear it down. And you look at all those bricks that you have lovingly stacked up over all the years, and you've got this edifice around you, and you can just barely see over the top. And am I going to really tear all this down? That's what you have to decide. You have to make that decision. Then, the first thing that you need to do, once you've decided that, if you've just made that decision, you need to look at yourself and you need to evict everybody else that's in the prison with you. All the co-belligerents. You got a spirit of fear in there. You know, I built this wall up because I'm afraid. You got a spirit of resentment. That was the one I had. I had resentment. You got to decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. And by the way, all of these at base are a spirit of pride. Because what you've built yourself is a stronghold. Stronghold is scriptural, by the way. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We're not talking about physical stuff. We're talking about spiritual stuff here. We destroy arguments and every lofty opposition raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when our obedience is complete. In other words, when we got our house in order, then we can turn around and look outside. So this is all spiritual. And what you've built with stacking your little bricks and inviting these co-belligerents in with you, what you've done is you've created a stronghold. And what I'm going to tell you to do is how to get rid of that stronghold. So the first thing you got to do is you got to evict your co-belligerents. Figure out who they are, and everybody's are different. Figure out who they are and tell them to take a hike. And I've told this story half a dozen times. Some of you are new. I had a real problem with resentment. I was a consulting engineer. And one of the things that would happen is I'd do some work and I wouldn't get paid. And I'd be out taking a walk. And before I knew it, I would be just fuming angry. And it had to do with the fact, how dare they not pay me? How dare they do that to really important me? And when I finally figured out what was going on, it was resentment. Every time I started to think that way, I would say, spirit of resentment, you be gone in Yeshua's name. I'm not going to play this time. And after a while, it quit trying. So you got to figure out what your co-belligerents are. It may be fear. It may be anger. It may be pride. It may be envy. All sorts of things that can be in there with you. And once you've decided to tear down your stronghold, you got to start evicting those. And as I say, everybody's are different. The next thing you got to do is start unstacking the bricks. And I'll tell you what you do. Those bricks don't go away. Bricks are really good for making a wall, but the other thing they're really good for is making pavement. So the brick stays there. And you take that brick and you take it out of the wall and you put it under your feet as pavement and you make a patio. Because those bricks are your memories. That's who you are. All of the things that have happened to you, they don't go away. You don't wipe your memory clean. You don't forget about all the things that have happened to you. But what you do is you take them out of the wall and you turn them into pavement. One at a time. You stack them one at a time, you got to take them down. And if there's a problem to be solved, if there's some ongoing thing that keeps making bricks for you, yeah, by all means, go ahead and solve that problem. Figure out what the problem is and work on getting it solved. But understand that vertical bricks or horizontal bricks are your choice. You get to choose, but you got to decide. What am I going to do with those bricks? Because you're going to keep making bricks. Once you decide to get out of prison, doesn't mean that the brick kiln goes away. People are still going to step on your toes, insult you, all of the things that people do to one another, that's going to continue. So you're still going to be able to make bricks, but you don't stack them up anymore. You lay them down. How do you tell when you've won? How do you tell when you're out of the prison? Well, the way I tell is I will look at one of those bricks. Most people can do this. You can remember an incident from sixth grade where somebody did something, and when you think about that, your stomach goes, "Ugh!" And when your stomach does that, what you know is that's a brick in the wall, not a brick in the pavement. And when you can look at that brick and you no longer get that in the pit of your stomach, then you know it's no longer part of your wall, it's now part of the pavement. That's how you know. Now, as I said, this is simple, but it isn't easy. Because we have made all those bricks lovingly, and we have stacked them all up lovingly, and we've got spirits in there helping us defend the wall. So getting rid of all that is very difficult. But it can be done. I did it. I know other people that have done it. Now, James, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And the whole point here is, expect difficulties. Expect difficulties within the church. Expect difficulties within your society. It's going to happen. And if you're hunkered down inside your fortress behind the wall, you're not out there conquering. And what God says is, I want you out there conquering. I like God. Anybody know the cartoon Pearls Before Swine? Yesterday's Pearl Before Swine is the conclusion to this talk. It is wonderful. Pig is running around grinning and smiling and saying, "Oh, what a glorious day." And then Mouse says, "What are you so happy about?" And Pig says, "No matter how bad life may seem, you can always choose to be joyous." And Mouse says, "Surely that's not allowed." And that's the whole point. Our whole society is devoted to helping you make bricks. Everybody has this problem. And you can choose not to stack up the bricks. You can't choose not to make bricks, because life is going to happen to you. But what you do with that brick, you get to choose. And you need to decide, am I going to stack them up and do the comfortable thing, which is going to wind up with me being in prison? Or am I going to do the thing God says to do and turn them into a patio? Your brick unstacker is forgiveness. And as you look at each brick, you got to decide, am I over that or am I not? You get to decide. And I'm suggesting, decide to conquer. Decide to triumph. That word just came to me just loud and clear Friday morning. Triumph! And that was the last instructions I got, so I hope I did it right.